Prabhupada ki, Shri Bhakti Vedanta ki, Grantaraj Shima Bhagavatam ki, Giriraj Maharaj ki, Jai Nitai Gopremanandi. Okay, so tonight we will go through chapter 44, verses 1 to 25. What is chapter 44 called? The killing of Kamsa. So tonight we'll hear about the killing of the wrestlers. Not Kamsa, but wrestlers. The first half of the chapter. Sukadev Goswami said, thus addressed, Lord Krishna made up his mind to accept the challenge. He paired off with Chanura and Lord Balaram with Mushtika. So early in the Bhagavatam, 10th canto, chapter 13, it describes that Lord Brahma, compared to the potency of Krishna, was just like what? Remember chapter 13, described Lord Brahma when he came before Krishna and then all of the manifestations came. What was he compared to?
Creation?
No, what was he compared to? A firefly. So a firefly compared to the sun. So whenever anyone comes before Krishna, they're just like a firefly. Even Lord Brahma, who is the most powerful person in this universe, compared to Krishna, his potency is insignificant. So compared to Krishna, Chanura and Mushtika are completely insignificant. So it is like moths, the Bhagavatam explains, like when a moth goes towards a fire, where it just gets disintegrated, burnt up. So when these wrestlers, even though they're very powerful, when they come towards Krishna, they just become completely destroyed. Any points? Seizing each other's hands and locking legs with each other, the opponents struggled powerfully, eager for victory. They each struck fists against fists, knees against knees, head against head, and chest against chest. So this is which rasa? Chivalry. In Sanskrit it is called? Vira Ras. A little bit late tonight. No, Krishna. So it's called Vira Ras. Vira Ras means chivalry. So it gives Krishna great pleasure. In the spiritual world, we found out only recently, for many years, as a devotee of Krishna, aspiring devotee of Krishna, I thought there were no demons in the spiritual world. And then I found out in the last few months, for the first time, there are demons in the spiritual world. But they appear from the potency of yoga maya. They just appear, Krishna deals with them, and then they disappear. So there is fighting in the spiritual world, but there's a special rasa in the material world. So when Krishna comes to the material world, then the demons appear, and there is a great fight between Krishna, and this is called vira rasa. So it gives Krishna, it's a secondary rasa, and it gives Krishna great pleasure. It enhances the primary rasas. So in which of the primary rasas is Vira Rasa found?
Sakya.
That when Krishna is now with his friends, sometimes there is Vira Rasa. Also in Madhurya Rasa, Vira Rasa is there. Sometimes the gopis will be like chivalrous towards Krishna. They might wrestle with him or fight with him or speak boldly towards him. So like some Vira Rasa is there as well. But then, Especially when he fights with the demons, then it becomes accentuated. So he deeply dives into it. So it describes here they're just like bulls. Krishna is fighting with the wrestlers just like a bull. Like when two bulls fight, have you seen two bulls fight? Have you seen them?
In the pictures? Yeah.
Have you seen real life? Anyone seen? When the bulls fight? Sometimes they'll come.
Yeah.
Sometimes they'll come and they crunch each other. And smash each other. So this is like Vira Ras. So Krishna and the bulls are coming together and they're fighting very powerfully. So it gives Krishna great pleasure. Krishna is a great warrior. He is the original warrior. He is the most powerful of all Kshatriyas. So he gets great pleasure in fighting. So now we're seeing that they're coming together and smashing each other. Any points?
This Viraras.
Viraras.
Is in this spiritual world too, isn't it? When you first...
Everything is in the spiritual world. Everything.
That's true.
Any other points?
Lord Krishna invents new flavor, new ways of playing the flute. So, Sri Chakravarti Thakur mentions he invented this new style of music.
Fist was
really
not hands, but Chandra accepted that out of his pride that he is
also great wrestler.
So he didn't mind
fighting
with the slaves. Yeah. And what was the pose of the fist?
The little finger was not the
slaves. Only the little finger. So he was fighting like this. Just the little fingers were out. So what sort of fighting is this? Where you just have your little fingers out, right? And you fight with someone. It's like some martial arts or something, like this. So he's fighting like that. Any other points? Okay. Very good, Jagannath Ram. Please come to my class again. Good to see you back. How did you go in your exam? The closed book?
Closed?
Yeah. How did you go? Did your wife get a bit higher mark than you? Or? We'll talk about it after class. This is not the right place to talk about this. Sorry, forgive me, Prabhuji. Please. Hey, don't laugh. It's serious adults class. It's the one. It's a little bit funny. Okay. Well done, Jamuna Lila. That's good. So give all the credit to him. Yeah. You take the credit. Each fighter contended with his opponent by dragging him about in circles, shoving and crushing him, throwing him down and running before and behind him. So one of Krishna's 64 qualities is Daksha. Daksha means?
expert.
Krishna is expert. So in wrestling, he is the most expert wrestler also. So in the material world, we try to be tricky sometimes, or to cheat, or to be, what is the word? A little devious. Sometimes we're like that. It's in all of us, like that. But Krishna will always outmaneuver us, and he will expose us, because he is expert, he is daksha. So whatever we try to do, Krishna will always be superior. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, of cheats, I am the cheater. Yeah. So when you try to cheat, you will see, you will be exposed. Krishna will expose you. This is the nature of the pastimes of the Krishna. He will always expose everything. So when he's with Chanuri and Mushtik, they're very expert, but Krishna is more expert. And this is in the pastime of the third canto when he fights with does Krishna fight with in the third canto? When Varahade fights with
Hiranyaksha.
So whenever they're fighting, Hiranyaksha thinks he's captured Varahade, but then he goes to crush him with his arms, but the Varahadeva is outside. So he's more expert. Krishna is like that. Don't play games with Krishna. Because while you're playing games with Krishna, he's actually playing games with you. We don't realize that. Any points? Forcefully lifting and carrying each other, pushing each other away and holding each other down, the fighters hurt even their own bodies in their great eagerness for victory. So it appeared that Krishna and Balaram were getting hurt during the fight. So actually, it is like when Nrisingadeva is fighting with Hiranyakashipu. It says that it's just like a cat playing with a mouse. So Krishna will act like he's sometimes getting hurt in the battle. When he's fighting with Chanura and Mushtik, sometimes he will act like they are defeating him. Because it increases the rasa. It increases the pleasure of everyone who is watching. Because they become more concerned for Krishna. It increases Krishna's pleasure and gives great pleasure to the fighter as well. So Krishna is like that. He is daksha. So very expert. But it's just like play for him. Someone said something? My dear king, which verse am I up to?
Six.
My dear king, all the women present, considering the match an unfair fight between the strong and the weak, felt extreme anxiety. Due to compassion, they assembled in groups around the arena and spoke to one another as follows. So they're concerned about Krishna. This kind of service attitude is called Atmavan Seva. What is Atmavan Seva? Atmavan Manyate Jagat. So if I'm feeling something, you must also be feeling that. Just like right now, if I'm cold, you must be cold. If I'm hot, you must be hot. We take it like that. If I'm happy, you must be happy. If I'm upset, you must be upset. Generally, it means like if we're all in a situation together, we must be going through the same thing. So the women are thinking, because they're so absorbed in Krishna, they're thinking Krishna must be experiencing great difficulty. So they're concerned for him. This is why, as grihasthas, everyone in this room is a grihastha, or a grihastha in making, or a grihastha previously. All of us are grihasthas. So this means grihasthas specifically must do deity worship. They must worship the deity, because you have to learn to put Krishna in front of yourself. Because the nature of grihastha ashram is usually you're very self-absorbed. Everything's very much about me. Oh, my children. My wife. Oh, my husband. Oh, my house. Oh, my Mercedes Benz. Hey, don't laugh, this is serious. So we're very attached to things. So we're very absorbed in our... That's why you must do deity worship. And just like if you go to Perth, where Burujan Prabhu lives with Mother Jagatrini, what is the name of their ashram? Gopinatha. Right? So why do they call it like that? What's the whole point? Because Gopinath is in the center. Means the deity is in the center. Krishna is in the center. Right? That's what our ashram is meant to be like. Grihastha ashram. Krishna should be in the center. Lakshmi Narayan, or whoever you have, your deities are. They should be in the center. That is the point. Everything revolves around them. Just like I went to Yogi Prabhu's house recently for a pilgrimage. I got to Melbourne, I didn't have anywhere to stay. I didn't have anywhere to stay. Where I normally stay was booked. So then I rang Yogi, I said, I have nowhere to stay. He said, come. So, okay. So I went to his house, walked in, and his deities are there, like that. And then Brinda, Mataji, she was sick. She's laying on the couch. And I said something which was not so Krishna conscious. And she chastised me nicely. She said, you can't speak like that in front of the deities. You remember that? actually, it was very purifying for me because she's instructing me that the deity is in the center here. So actually, I felt purified, I felt instructed because I am in front of the deities, but I say something not appropriate. He said, the deities are there. You can't speak like that. So this is the situation in the ashram, Grihastha ashram. Krishna must be in the center. So that is Atmavan Seva. Whatever the deity is feeling, then you should be feeling. So, as much as possible, keep the deity in the center in the house. In my ashram, then I keep the deity in his own room. Giriraj has his own room. I could put him in the lounge area, but I don't feel that's appropriate because sometimes, the conversations are not always on the highest level of consciousness. So I prefer to have him in his own place. And it depends on the size of your house. You have to be practical sometimes. But the point is, he should be in the center of the consciousness of everyone. First thing you do when you get up in the morning, you attend to the deity. Last thing you do before you take rest, you attend to the deity. Should be in the center, that's the point. Any points? So, we're up to verse 7. So from 7 to 16, who is speaking?
The women.
Yeah, good. The women in Mathura. Some very beautiful. Actually, there's a couple of verses here. When I go past them, can you write them down? And then I can use them for KMVs for the next section. Just keep a note of the verses. Some very beautiful verses here. Quoted by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Very, very beautiful verses. The women said, "Alas, what a greatly irreligious act the members of this royal assembly are committing. As the king watches this fight between the strong and the weak, they also want to see it. What comparison can there be between these two professional wrestlers with limbs as strong as lightning bolts and bodies resembling mighty mountains and these two young, immature boys with exceedingly tender limbs?" So Krishna and Balaram's form is Rupa Madhurya. Rupa Madhurya means forms of sweetness. So very tender. One devotee painted a picture of Krishna and showed to Prabhupada. But Krishna had muscles. You know, like sometimes you see the bodybuilders and you can see their muscles. So they drew a picture of Krishna, but he had muscles. And Prabhupada said, not like that. He said his form is very soft. There's no muscles like that. Like that. He's like a very beautiful form. So Prabhupada said, that is the way Krishna is. He must be painted like that. So his form is very soft, like butter. When you look at Krishna, it looks like that. It looks like you could touch and your hand will melt into his form. It's like so soft and very beautiful. So they're feeling that how can these boys who are tender with these two wrestlers who are very big and well-defined, how can they possibly fight? So they're attached to his form. So at this point in time, Krishna is showing his Rupa Madhurya, his Vrindavan form. Because he's dressed just like he dresses in Vrindavan.
He's still dressed like that.
He hasn't put on the crowns and everything yet. He hasn't turned into like the king. Soon he turns into the prince. And he starts dressing differently. But now he's still very beautiful because he's dressing like a cowherd boy. In which form is Krishna the most beautiful? Brenda? Which form is most beautiful? The cowherd boy. Yeah, when he's dressed as a cowherd boy, he's the most beautiful. What'd you say? Yeah, good. Yeah, you got it right. Just seeing if you knew. Okay. Any points?
The question.
Yep.
The women in the, that are feeling this compassion, like empathy with Krishna, are they looking at him in the form of like he's their child? Or are they looking at him in the form of he's their love in this case?
Depends on their age.
So when you feel, oh no, that he's going to be hurt, it's usually that motherly feeling.
Even Madhurya Ras is mixed with motherhood, the feeling of Vatsalya. Each rasa has all the qualities of the previous rasa. So Madhurya has all the feelings in it. Vatsalya has friendship in it also. Friendship has servitorship in it. Servitorship has shanta in it. So everything preceding is in the superior rasa. So Madhurya has feelings of Vatsalya. Sometimes the gopis feel like motherly towards Krishna also. That's not their main feeling, but sometimes it's there. Any other point?
Gopi used to feel that Lord Krishna Gopi, he was walking, you know, when he used to walk through the forest and come home. So they used to feel that his foot must be very hurtful.
Anything else? Religious principles have certainly been violated in this assembly. One should not remain, even for a moment, in a place where irreligion is flourishing.
Very beautiful verses. You can write that one down.
I don't know if we'll use it, but make a note of that one. So, this is an important lesson. Adharma. What does adharma mean? Means without dharma. So if you're in a place where there is a dharma being practiced, you should leave the place. We should not reside in those places. It's like I met one devotee today, nice devotee. Been a devotee a long time in this temple, so I was taking prasad and then he came and sat with me. And I hadn't spoken to him for a bit. I said, what are you doing? And he said, now I'm working for myself. He said, because I don't want to work with the non-devotees. Because there's too much adharma in their association. So a devotee naturally wants to reside in a place which is dharmic, or a place where devotional moods are exchanged. So as much as possible. It's very difficult in this day and age because it's hard to extricate yourself from the non-devotees. But still, wherever there is a dharma, we have to avoid that place. A devotee is not attractive. Just like recently, my family, my biological family, they were having some birthday celebration. So I was in a place where meat was being served. Right? So they said, come for dinner. I said, no, I'm not going to go to that place. They said, no, there's vegetarian options. But I put my foot down. I said, I'm not going to that place. So naturally they get upset. Yeah, I said, well, what to do? I'm not going there. You know, I said, if you want, then you can make some compromise. Yeah, there's vegetarian restaurants now in Geelong. Yeah, a place where they only serve vegan, vegetarian food. Not prasadam, but at least that I'll go to. You know, but not to the place where the meat is served. So, as a devotee, then we take a stance. Yeah, we will not go to the places where there is a dharma. Irreligion. So gradually we have to get to the point where shape our life. It's very difficult in Kali Yuga, but shape your life in such a way that you can avoid these things. Any points?
Can you often be told when you go to a vegetarian restaurant?
In my opinion, no. In other devotees' opinion, yes.
There's some devotees, they say that they take a bit of food with them and mix it.
Yeah, so one time I was with some devotees. We went to one, like, Chinese restaurant.
Mm.
Pure veg. Mm. Right? No meat, no, pure veg. Buddhist place, right? But not prasad.
Mm.
So one devotee brought a laddu. And he was touching all the preps. Like prasadam, touching it. And now it's all prasad. So maybe that's true, maybe that's true, I don't know. And then another time, I was at a place, and same thing, vegetarian, all vegetarian, but not prasadam. And many devotees were there actually, some occasion. It was a wedding actually. And we're all there. And then one devotee is more senior than me, he's actually on the GBC, like that. So he's a more senior devotee than me. And so everyone was having this discussion, can we offer this, can we not offer this, like that. In my opinion, you can't offer it, in my opinion, because it's cooked by a non-devotee. But this devotee was saying, you can, and in his mind he was doing like prayers and everything. But that, in his mind he was offering, so okay, fine. So for him it's offered, for me it's not offered, it's like whatever it is, like that. As much as possible we should take prasad, as much as possible.
Mm-hmm.
Like if my family want to meet me, I say let's meet at Gopal's.
Mm-hmm.
Or Radhi's Chai Bar, or Crossways, or Mantra Lounge, or something. It's prasad.
Mm-hmm.
First choice. You know, I'll go down to, you know, some vegetarian place, I'll go down to that, but I won't go to where their meat is served.
Mm-hmm.
Like this. Okay. Any other point?
So instead of eating the food directly,
yeah,
from the vegetarian restaurant,
ah,
better to offer to Krishna and then eat it. Because it is actually, Prabhupada says that if you don't offer food, if you eat food which is not offered to Krishna, it's sinful. So we shouldn't take that food directly. It's better to offer to Krishna whatever contamination that Krishna can remove it from. So that we can.
Whatever works in your mind, then
mm-hmm.
do that.
No, he says it's sinful. If we eat that,
yeah,
without offering to Krishna, then.
Yeah, so what I do, Prabhupada had a conversation with Revati Nandan Swami, who was his disciple. He's not a Swami anymore, but Revati Nandan. So Prabhupada said to him, he said, actually for a devotee, everything is prasadam. Because like you're saying, when you eat, before you eat, you think, this is coming from Krishna. That thought in itself, on one level, makes a prasad. So, you know, I think like that. You know, then I think of Krishna. But in my mind, I don't actually offer it to him. For a start, it's in a bowl. And the bowl's been, non-devotees have been eating out the bowl. So how are you going to offer that to Krishna? Krishna has to be offered. So in the kitchen, God knows what they're doing. They're probably all tasting it and doing all this stuff. So they ain't going to offer it to Krishna. So that's my opinion, right? But then I've seen other devotees more senior than me. They're doing offerings, so it's up to you. So in my mind, I just think of Krishna. Any other point? Okay. So the next question is, what about cornflakes? Hands up if you eat cornflakes at home. One honest devotee. Two honest devotees, good. Three? Okay. Cereal.
Cereal, yes.
Now everyone puts their hand up. Wheat Bix, Corn Flakes, Fruit Loops, Huh? Muesli? Muesli, yeah, all these things. Cooked by non-devotees. So sometimes devotees ask, can you offer that to Krishna? Right? In my opinion, you can't. In my opinion. But I've seen other devotees do it. So, up to you. Whatever you are thinking.
Is it
is the whole conundrum like when you're offering something, you're offering it so it's no longer sinful for yourself? Or are you as other people saying, I'm thinking of Krishna and what I'm going to give him? So maybe that's the difference. Mm-hmm. Some people are thinking, I better offer it so I'm not eating something sinful. And other people are thinking, I'm not offering that to Krishna because I love him so much, I'm not going to give him that. So that, I think, I don't know, I'm nobody here, but the second one is probably a bit higher. It's not thinking of yourself, it's thinking of Krishna, which is more important.
Yeah. Yeah, I think every devotee has to make their own decision how they want to do it with Krishna. Personally, I don't do it, but then other devotees do it. Right? Just like in St. Kilda, there's a vegetarian pizza shop. It's not prasadam, but it's vegetarian pizza. And I know some of the devotees eat that pizza. And sometimes I've eaten that pizza. So then one devotee, he got the pizza and then he offered it to his deity. Right? And then I said, you can't do that. And he said, I've been doing it for a long time. So... And he said, I didn't get any reaction so far. And I said, well, I don't want to take the risk. And he said, well, I don't mind doing it. So then, Hare Krishna, whatever you decide.
Isn't that, is it,
what's that?
Abhavitra.
Yeah, you can chant all the mantras. It's just, it's personal choice, whatever you want to do.
And he said, you know, whatever you want to do.
Yeah, it is true. I mean, if you remember, everything is coming from Krishna. The main point that I try to do, I try to always eat prasadam. That's the main point. Just like if I fly to India on the planes, I take prasadam. Right? A, because the plane food is not offered to Krishna. Right? B, the plane food tastes terrible. C, the prasadam tastes much better. I always take prasadam with me on the plane. And usually when I'm on the plane, the other passengers ask me if they can have some of what I'm eating. You know, one time I was eating, they start bringing the meals around, so we start bringing out all our stuff. We've got like this whole spread. We're all taking it. And all the non-devotees are like, you know. Yeah, and then one lady goes, she said to me, she goes, can I try that? I say, okay. So I gave her some samosa. She took the samosa, so.
Is it okay to order the fruit plate?
That's what I do, yeah. I take the fruit platter.
And that's what I do. That's what I do.
Yeah, that's what I do too. Take the fruit platter. Mm-hmm. So it's up to you what you want to do. It's your choice. But the basic principle is try to take prasadam. That's the basic principle. As much as you can. Any other points? Okay. Which verse are we on?
10.
A wise person should not enter an assembly if he knows the participants there are committing sins of impropriety. And if, having entered such an assembly, he fails to speak the truth, speaks falsely, or pleads ignorance, he will certainly incur sin. You write that one down too. That's a good one. So, this is a point that we have to learn as devotees. If you see something wrong, you have to do something about it. And if you don't do something about it, you also become implicated. It's an important point. And one thing in this world, and also Kali Yuga, I don't know if it's just Kali Yuga or it's this world in general, people don't like to get involved in things. We all like to turn our head. Like that. But if you see something is wrong and you're in the situation, you must do something about it. It's not pleasant, but it is your responsibility. That is dharma. Dharma means, right, if something needs to be corrected, you must correct it. You must uphold dharma. It is your responsibility. Otherwise, you incur sin. Right? And what are the famous examples? What is it?
The disrobing of
Draupadi, right? So who spoke up? Vidura, right? And who didn't speak up?
Grandfather Bhishma.
Bhishma. And who is Bhishma?
Grandsire.
Right? He's the one of the 12 Mahajans. One of the 12 Mahajans. And he didn't speak up and he incurred sin. And Prabhupada explains, even a great soul can incur sin. Right? And he's a Mahajan. He's like on the top level. Interesting also, Prabhupada comments, why was it his consciousness was polluted? Yeah, he was eating the food offered by Duryodhana, which was not offered to Krishna. Even Grandfather Bhishma was eating food not offered to Krishna, and even he became contaminated in consciousness. This shows how careful you have to be. You have to be very careful eating the food cooked by the non-devotees. Even recently, Ekadashi, I think it might have been the last Ekadashi, and then after we ate, then someone said, oh, the oil that we cooked in was sesame oil. Right? And I said, that's not Ekadashi. So I broke an Ekadashi, right? Unknowingly. Right? And I noticed my consciousness changed the next few days. Right? I have to be there, because usually I'm very strict on Ekadashi. Right? I don't take grains on Ekadashi. I see some devotees, sometimes I see devotees are a little lax. Oh, it's got some grain. Oh, anyway, but they're, you know, like that. But you have to be very strict on these things, because it will affect your consciousness. So we see that even Bhishma Dev himself became affected in consciousness. So adharma means if something is wrong, you have to do something about it, even if it's unpleasant. Just like today, I was having lunch at the temple, right? And then one Mataji came to me and she said, this man sitting over there, he went into the shop and he said something inappropriate to one of the ladies in the shop. So then what do I do?
Right.
Yeah, because I have a choice right at that point. Do I do something, right? Because I knew it was going to be unpleasant. Or do I not get involved to make my life easier? So we have to follow Dharma. So Nittai Premananda, you know Nittai Premananda? Yeah, you know? Yeah. So he's a policeman. Right. So I went up to Nittai and I said, I'm going to go and speak to the guy, so just watch. Okay? You need a backup. Yeah. So I went over to the guy and I said to him, I said, you've been speaking to one of the women. They said you're speaking inappropriately. You need to leave. So he began to speak very loudly, got all like this. Nittai came over and did his cop thing, you know, calmed the guy, hey, like this. I was being the bad cop. He was being the good cop. You know, I was saying, hey, get out of here. He was just saying, hey, calm down, guy. So the guy was carrying on, right? And he was starting to make a scene. So I said, okay, out. So we went out, right? And I said, if you don't leave now, I'm ringing the police, right? And he said, I'm not leaving, so that's fine, no problem. So we rang the police. Police were here in 10 minutes, kicked the guy out. Right? So this is dharma, right? Wasn't particularly pleasant. I didn't enjoy the situation whatsoever. But if one of the women is feeling harassed, right, by someone who is irreligious, out. And I said to the policeman, I said, tell him he's not allowed to come back. So the policeman said, you're not allowed to hear anymore. That's it. Right? That is dharma. So it's if we don't act when we have to act, we become implicated. Right? Doesn't mean it's pleasant, but that's our duty. Right? Otherwise, go and live in the forest. But if you're here in civilization, you have to act appropriately. So.
And the thing is, if you hadn't spoken and he did come back another time and did something worse than speaking,
that's right.
You partake in that.
That's right. Yeah, I would never forgive myself for that. Any other point?
Ajamila was also eating from prostitute, and she was cooking, and he was eating that food, and he became more degraded eventually. He was robbing and stealing her.
Yeah, good point. Nice.
Most of the people in Kalyan, they are bad.
What's that?
Most of the people, except the devotees, they are not very good. So what should we do?
A lot of people are okay. But if someone is making problem, then you have to be strict.
Mm-hmm. And the Draupadi, she was insulted. After Bidurji had gone away.
What's that?
Draupadi was insulted after Bidurji had already left the kingdom.
No, Vidura was there.
I thought he had left it.
No, he was there.
He got angry with Duryodhana and he left the kingdom.
That was later. More later.
He
Just see the lotus face of Krishna as he darts around his foe. That face, covered with drops of perspiration brought on by the strenuous fight, resembles a lotus covered with dew. So Krishna does not perspire, because his body is such chit ananda vigraha. So what's strenuous for Krishna? Nothing is strenuous for him. But this is it's a yoga maya, or this is Krishna's lila shakti, that he appears to be perspiring, because he gets into it. Otherwise, if he's pushing Chanura and they're wrestling together, and he's thinking, oh well, I'm God, and this is not really very difficult, then he doesn't enjoy it. So he actually gets into the role, he enjoys it, and then he perspires. But when Krishna perspires, it becomes very beautiful, like drops of dew. It increases his beauty, because it's the perspiration of the Supreme Lord himself. So. Krishna Chandra Bhagavan a key.
Yeah.
Krishna's perspiration key.
Yeah.
Even you can worship his perspiration, you become pure. When Lord Varahadev went down into the ocean, and then he came up, and then he shook himself, and all the
water
trigger, and then all the sages felt like that was
sprinkled on them.
Yeah, like when we go to the temple and we offer the water and then we throw it on all the devotees. So it purifies me.
So half of every universe is perspiration.
What's that?
Half of every universe is Krishna's perspiration. Mm. Yeah,
Brahma, the ocean. Yeah. Yeah. Good. Don't you see the face of Lord Balaram with its eyes copper red from his anger toward Mushtika, and his beauty enhanced by his laughter and his absorption in the fight? So you know when a fight is good, when you are laughing. It means when you're really a chatri, you enjoy the fight. Chatris, they smile and laugh while they're fighting. Right? Someone attacks them, they say, that was a good fight, or that was a good blow. And then they retaliate. That's the nature of the chatris. So you see Lord Balaram, his eyes are red. But he's laughing, he's enjoying it. Right? He's fully absorbing himself in Vira Ras. Balaram very much enjoys these pastimes. When there's a fight, he's... what does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita? Happy are Kshatriyas. For which fighting opportunities come unsought. That is a Kshatriya. He's happy. Oh, there's a fight? No, this is good. I wasn't looking for a fight, but there's one there. Chatris enjoy. Vira Ras.
Can Jalasandh do the same thing?
What's that?
Jalasandh did the same thing.
Yeah. Okay. Number 13. Can you write down 13 as well? That's a good one. Can you send me an email after class or something? Text or something? Just to remind me so I can keep a note of the answers. How pious are the tracts of land in Braj, for there the primeval personality of Godhead, disguising himself with human traits, wanders about and acting his many pastimes, adorned with wonderfully variegated forest garlands. He whose feet are worshipped by Lord Shiva and Lord Rama vibrates his flute as he tends the cows in the company of Balaram. So Mahatmaji, you like to read them?
In this verse, the devoted lady in the audience point out the difference between Mathura and Vrindavan. They want to indicate that Vrindavan Krishna simply enjoys with his girlfriends and boyfriends. Whereas here in Mathura, the Lord is subjected to harassment by bullying tactics of professional wrestlers. Thus the ladies are condemning the city of Mathura because of their pain at seeing Krishna in what they consider an unfair wrestling match. Of course, Mathura is also one of the Lord's eternal abodes, but here the women in the assembly express their love in critical way.
Any points?
Lakshmana Chakravarti Thakur explains the word Anchati, he moves about. Present tense. That's very peculiar, which indicates that his pastimes are eternal. That's a very unique point. using your present tense.
Nice.
He's attacked in Vrindavan. He's attacked by demons. I'm just wondering. I can see that there is a difference, but I'm not able in my mind to understand exactly where.
They're not being philosophical at this point in time.
Ah.
You know.
So this is his welcome to Mathura, this wrestler's
attacking
him. He's being attacked.
Yeah, I mean, that's how they're thinking. You know, if someone comes to your house, you know, it's like I come to Yogi's house and then, you know, Jaikishan, you know, walks out and attacks me. Then, you know, then Yogi kind of thinks, no, I'm not saying. I'm not saying anything happened. I'm just saying if that. It was just an example, all right? It was just an example. Oh, just an example. So then, you know, if I go to someone's house and then, you know, a member comes out and attacks, then, you know, Yogi will be thinking, oh, well, that's not very good. That's not, you know, it's not a good welcome to the house. So that's the mood. The residents of Mathura, they're thinking, we've just invited him to our city. He's come to our city for the first time. He should be enjoying our city. We should be very hospitable. And now he's about to be killed in a wrestling match. No. So they're feeling great anxiety. The women are feeling he's definitely going to lose this fight. These men are so powerful, so big, they're so tender. No. So therefore they're feeling great anxiety. So the point is, this verse is showing the superiority of
women.
Of what? Okay. Thank you so much for the purport. We'll start again. So this verse is showing the superiority of? Yeah, or of Vrindavan. Yeah, Madhurya Ras. Yeah. It's showing the superiority of Vrindavan. Vrindavan is by far superior. The pleasure which Krishna receives and experiences in Vrindavan surpasses everything in all of his other pastimes. And the other residents of the other dhams, they deep down, they know that. And you'll see, much later in the Bhagavatam, probably in 2 years' time, if we get to study that part, then we'll see that when everyone reunites in Kurukshetra. Hey, remind me as well, I've got a... there's a whole section in Krishna Sangati I have to read to all of you. You have to remind me in the next few weeks. Send me a message or something next Sunday or Monday or something. I don't think I brought the book. Or maybe it's there. I'm not sure if I brought it. But make sure I bring it. Because there's a whole section where Shivaram Swami explains how many times Krishna came back to Vrindavan for the remaining 115 years that he left from the first 10 years when he was in Vrindavan. It's very interesting, actually. He actually returned many, many times. It's not mentioned in the Bhagavatam, but he actually went back many times. And then, because normally, you know, even myself, for many years, in classes, I always say, oh, you know, Krishna saw the devotees again in Kurukshetra. You know, but it's not actually true. It didn't actually take place like that. There was many times they met over the years. But then many, many years later in his pastimes, they met at Kurukshetra. And all the residents of Dwarka came along with the bridge busses. And everyone met at the same time. But then the residents of Dwarka and the residents of Vrindavan were in one place at one time, which had not taken place before, where they would all merge in one place. And then it describes that when Vasudeva and Devaki, when they saw Krishna, and then they saw how Krishna responded when he saw Nanda and Yashoda. Devaki says, oh, it's because he saw Yashoda and Krishna come together and they were embracing. And he saw how much feeling Krishna had for Yashoda. Mm-hmm. And that it actually surpassed the feeling that he had for Devaki. Devaki said, it's very nice that my son has so much feeling for you. But how did Mother Yashoda respond?
She didn't even hear.
Very good. Yeah, she did not even hear. Because Krishna is her son. So Devaki can say whatever she would like to say, but it makes no difference to Yashoda whatsoever. So the superiority of Braj is always, actually that is, yeah, it's always there. In one sense, this is one of the main purports of the 10th canto. And you could even say that one of the main purports of the entire Srimad Bhagavatam is that the Bhagavatam establishes the superiority of Vrindavan above any other abode. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu specifically says this. There's no abode superior to Vrindavan. He says there's no love equal to or superior to the love of the gopis. There is no land like Vrindavan. There is no form of God like Krishna. These are the teachings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. What do you think, Nila Gopa?
Yeah.
Any other point?
She doesn't hear then, and when she sees the universe in Krishna's mouth, she doesn't see either. She sees and doesn't see.
Yeah. Good. Very good. You're progressing nicely, Alia. Good. Keep going.
Thanks to all of you. Thank you.
Keep going. Radharani will Radharani will look after you.
He was coming to Radharani every night.
Yeah, he says that. Okay. Which verse are we on?
14.
Okay. Write down 14 also. What austerities must... This is a very beautiful verse. Quoted in Chaitanya Charitamrita itself. What austerities must the gopis have performed? With their eyes, they always drink the nectar of Lord Krishna's form, which is the essence of loveliness, and is not to be equaled or surpassed. That loveliness is the only abode of beauty, fame, and opulence. It is self-perfect, ever-fresh, and extremely rare. So in other words, what are they saying? Hey, very good. Experiencing Madhuri, what else?
Gopis are higher and lucky. They're
most fortunate.
Envious in a nice way for the gopis, and they're also saying that they're higher in
it. Superior. Very good. What else?
Lord Krishna's beauty is unique.
Very good. Yeah. In other words, Krishna's form in Vrindavan is the topmost form. It is the... It's the topmost form of God. He's never more beautiful than he is in Vrindavan. And he's entered Mathura, he's still in Gopa Vesh. He's still dressed like a Gopa. So he's still dressed like a cowherd boy. So this is the most beautiful form of Krishna, of God. The ladies of Braj are the most fortunate of women because, with their minds fully attached to Krishna and their throats always choked up with tears, they constantly sing about him while milking the cows, winnowing grain, churning butter, gathering cow dung for fuel, riding on swings, taking care of their crying babies, sprinkling the ground with water, cleaning their houses, and so on. By their exalted Krishna consciousness, they automatically acquire all desirable things. What is the purport? The purport is we must always think of life in Vrindavan, Braj. Prabhupada specifically says this. Rupa Goswami specifically says this. Nectar of devotion, the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Prabhupada said nectar of devotion is the law book for ISKCON. The first 19 chapters are the southern side of the ocean. Right? We studied that many years ago when we did Bhakti Shastra. So in Bhakti Shastra you studied that. So the first 14 chapters, what is the topic of the first 14 chapters? Vaidhi Sadhana Bhakti, very good. Right? Chapter 15 and 16 are? Very good. Raga Nuga Sadhana. 17, 18? Bhava. Right? And 19? Prema. Yeah. So this is Sadhya. Yeah? Sadhana and Sadhya. The process and the goal. So Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, chapter 15 and 16, that is the process to attain Vrindavan. You must practice Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. Now Rupa Goswami, it's interesting, he doesn't write a lot about Raganuga Sadhana. He only two chapters. Right? But that is how to attain Vrindavan. You must practice Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. And interesting, when he describes Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti, he only gives three verses. And those three verses are the description of Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. So, in those three verses, Rupa Goswami specifically says, the devotee, and Prabhupada translates it like this, a devotee must think of life in Braj. That's Raganuga Sadhana Bhakti. While you're doing your devotional service, you have to meditate on life in Vrindavan. That's how you get to Vrindavan. Hands up if you want to go to Vrindavan. Good. So you all have that desire. By the mercy of Lord Chaitanya, you have that desire. So now you have to work out how to actually do it. You have to always think of life in Braj. And what does this verse describe? Life in Braj, right? So if you want to work out what it is you're going to be doing or should be doing, right, this is it. Right? So what are some of the points or descriptions in the verse?
Thinking of Krishna no matter what you're doing.
Very good. Very good. What are some of the practical activities? Goba. What is goba?
Well,
you have to learn how to make patties. Is life in Braj. That's what you'll be doing. Hare Baba. That's what you'll be making, cow dung patties. So get used to it. When you go back to the spiritual world, you have to make cow dung patties. Seva. This is life in Braj. A few years ago, I was in Vrindavan at Govardhan, and we have one ashram there, the Bhaktivedanta ashram. And one of the sannyasis was there. And one of the sannyasis, he told me his Kartik Vrat, one of his Kartik Vrats, was every day to spend time with the cows. He said, because that is part of my sadhana, because I'm trying to learn the mood of the bridge buses. You have to like cows. October the 8th, Hare Krishna Valley, Go Puja. So you should come. And you can associate with the cows, do some seva. For the cows. In the mornings, the devotees at Hare Krishna Valley, they get up in the morning, they go to the Goshala. My wife, right, Manigriva Prabhu, Dhanatai, Dougie, go there, and they clean the Goshala. First thing, that's their first saver in the morning. This is life in Braj. So it makes you, if you become attracted to the cows, Krishna will become attracted to you. It's important to understand these points.
Lord Krishna say,
you
know,
love my devotees more than me. Very good. So that's what they are doing. They're Shravanam Kirtan, Kirtan, Krishna is learning. They're remembering. When the gopis hear Krishna playing his flute as he leaves Braj in the morning with his cows or returns with them at sunset, the young girls quickly come out of their houses to see him. They must have performed many pious activities to be able to see him as he walks on the road, his smiling face mercifully glancing upon them. So this is eagerness, lopa. This is the qualification, Rupa Goswami says, the qualification to attain Krishna is lopa. It is tatra loyam. Loyam means eagerness. You become eager to see Krishna by associating with devotees who have that desire to see Krishna. Shukadev Goswami continued, as the women spoke thus, O hero of the Bharatas, Lord Krishna, the master of all mystic power, made up his mind to kill his opponent. What does Krishna say in the Bhagavad Gita? Yayatamam prapajante. Right. So they wanted him, the wrestler's dead, and Krishna reciprocated. Krishna realized, my devotees are in anxiety, so I'll kill. Don't let them be in anxiety anymore. I'll just kill the restless. Out of affection for the two lords, their parents, Devaki and Vasudev, became overwhelmed with sorrow when they heard the women's fearful statements. They grieved, not knowing their son's strength. Lord Balaram and Mushtika, expertly displaying numerous wrestling techniques, battled each other in the same way Lord Krishna and his opponent did. The harsh blows from the Supreme Lord's limbs fell like crushing lightning bolts upon Chanura, breaking every part of his body and causing him more and more pain and fatigue. Furious Chanura attacked Lord Vasudev with the speed of a hawk and struck his chest with both his fists. No more shaken by the demon's mighty blows than an elephant struck with a flower garland, Lord Krishna grabbed Chanura by his arms, swung him around several times, and hurled him onto the ground with great force, his clothes, hair, and garland scattering. The wrestler fell down dead, like a huge festival column collapsing. Similarly, Mushtika struck Lord Balabhadra with his fist and was slain. Receiving a violent blow from the mighty lord's palm, the demon trembled all over in great pain, vomited blood, and then fell lifeless onto the ground like a tree blown down by the wind. Krishna Balaram Ki Jai Ho.
See you next week.
Hare Krishna.